Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life, Joe Soucheray.
You ready?
What do you got, friend, on a Monday afternoon?
You're not going to like it.
Well, you know what? I'm a big boy. I'm going to have to take it. How bad?
A great white shark population boom is underway off Cape Cod with as many as 150 expected in local waters this summer. And first responders are training to keep an eye out for the massive predators and deal with their traumatic bites.
Yeah.
They have multiplied in numbers exponentially since I became chief, said Orleans Fire Chief Anthony Pike, who has led Orleans Fire and Rescue for 3 years. Great whites comprise about 30% of my daily work right now, and I never, ever thought it would be a thing. Massachusetts Marine Fishery Scientist Gregory Scommel and others began studying the regional population of white sharks. Scommel says 40% of the 141 sharks his research team tracked in 2015 returned to Cape Cod waters in 2016.
Ooh.
According to the Atlantic Shark Conservancy, there have already been 8 confirmed great white sightings this month. Cue the Jaws music.
Yeah, I'll say.
Great whites typically patrol to the cool ocean waters off Chatham and other Cape towns between July and October, said Scommel. Do you like it when the sharks get in the news?
No. Shark news can never be good news. On the right path.
Back in 2001, heading to September 11, we had a hell of a lot of shark news. Now, I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah,
you recall how frequently there?
Oh, yeah.
It was as though there was no other news. The dog days of summer had occurred back in 01. And again, news gatherers are essentially in the hysteria business. And so you can't get away from the shark stories. Spain. The tabloid Sun has done a 9-page story.
I don't even know what you're going to say yet, but 9-page story, so they're thoroughly vetted it out.
Based on the presence of sharks in the tourist town of Majorca. M-A-J-O-R-C-A, Majorca or Majorca in Spain.
M-A-J-O-R, Majorca.
It's incredible with the pictures, but they'll never pass up a chance to show, you know, chicks in bikinis. So there's a ton of pictures. And then there's tons of pictures. I apologize for using the word tons. I try not to do that. There are many photographs of a shark pulled up on the beach and everybody standing around looking at it. And tourists and locals could be seen taking pictures of the fish. And this goes on and on and on for 9 pages. Here's more photographs. And apparently the warnings are out at this tourist hotspot for Europeans. Don't go... elitist beach near the holiday resorts of Magaluf and Palmanova became the first beach to be closed. They're closing the beaches now because of the sharks. And the fish is thought to have moved close to shore after becoming disoriented. And finally, we end the story with telling us how many teeth the shark have. And so it's no different here or in Europe that we are learning of the incredible dangers of sharks.
Okay, so my advice, actually it's not my advice, it's somebody else's advice, whether you're in Europe or whether you're in America, heed this advice.
Had the news on, it was talking about somebody else and got ate up by a shark. I want you all to be mindful. You're going to the beach, do that, go to the beach. Don't go to the ocean, right? Okay? The ocean is the shark's house. Shark has the right to eat you up when you in his house. When chickens come in my house, guess what? They get ate.
What is this?
When pigs come in my house, they own the plate. So when you go in the shark's house, you're going to get ate up, okay?
All right.
Okay.
Was that from a news story?
Yeah, I forget where we got it. Reavers grabbed it, but I don't remember where he got it.
Now a number of windmilling episodes staying with creatures of the sea. The carcass of a young humpback whale washed ashore Friday morning in Rhode Island, causing experts to think that a nearby offshore wind turbine may be to blame.
Okay.
That's windmilling.
Yep.
Rescue workers and two vets from a nearby aquarium collected samples from the dead whale and suspect that the nearby Block Island offshore wind farm could be responsible for the whale's death. Noise from the turbine allegedly hampers the sonar that whales use to navigate and communicate.
Didn't know that.
Oh. If necropsy shows that a perfectly healthy whale beached itself where offshore wind turbines do exist, they need to check what kind of sound these things are putting out. Bonnie Brady, director of the Long Island Commercial Fishing Association, who regularly discusses the impacts of noise on marine animals, said there have been an unusual amount of strandings this year. Both construction and ordinary operations noises from offshore wind turbines can travel immense distances underwater. You learn more here by accident than elsewhere by
design. I didn't know that prior to the show.
So the greenies can't have it both ways. You got to have your, you can't be killing whales.
No.
These noises harm whales, dolphins, marine mammals, and fish that communicate with noises in order to breed. For this reason, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration shows that high noise levels can cause marine mammals like whales and dolphins to go deaf and disrupt their vocal communications. This is not a good deal.
No.
This is a bad windmilling.
Really bad. Whales
for
are
new listeners,
whales.
For new listeners, windmilling is what occurs when you preach for something, usually to save the environment, but that only to discover that it might inconvenience you personally, then you don't want it. And it occurred in its first form on this show with the discovery that the members of the Kennedy family, who live on Cape Cod, where there are shark warnings now,
right.
they were great proponents. I would imagine they remain great proponents of alternative energy, only to discover that a wind farm had been planned out there towards Nantucket, and they got very worried that they would be able to see it.
Right. They didn't want to see it.
They didn't want to see it.
Nope, not in my backyard. Yep.
No greater fan of public transportation than NPR. I'm just giving you one more quick example. Until they discovered that the train would literally be going by their building, and then filed a lawsuit to have the intersection there have the tracks customized on large pillows or something that would deaden the sound of the train going by their radio station.
Right.
That's windmilling.
They did not want that.
They didn't want that. This was a humpback whale, this dead one. Other whale species use different frequencies of sound. Vibrations from the spinning wind turbines create noise that can be heard under the water. NOAA needs to do some long-term investigation into the strandings that have occurred. The possibility that it is wind turbines is something we need to know now, not later. 46 dead humpback whales have washed ashore in the Atlantic coast since January, according to the NOAA. That is an unusual mortality event. Jennifer Gebel, a spokeswoman for the Atlantic region of NOAA, told the Jamestown, Rhode Island Press. When workers construct offshore wind turbines, they use a loud pile driver to anchor the windmill to the seabed. Water magnifies sound, so underwater the pile driver's noise can reach levels up to 220 decibels. Putting this number into perspective, 150 decibels of sound can burst human eardrums, and 185 to 200 decibels is the range usually considered to be the threshold for causing human death. I did not know that. You can die by sound.
I didn't know that either. Another thing I learned.
But here, these whales, though, they're hearing 220 decibels, and we're being told here that 185 to 200 decibels is the range that can cause human death.
Well, how close are the whales to the pounding?
I don't know.
I mean, wouldn't they have to be
right there? Right?
I know it carries, but...
The sheer loudness of the turbines can maim and kill fish. The noise produced when building the turbines poses a particular danger for fish with an organ highly sensitive to acoustics called a swim bladder, which adjusts a fish's level of buoyancy and determines whether it floats or sinks. You think we're done right there?
Yeah, that's
no.
pretty much it. I'm
no,
sure
no,
we're
no,
all set.
No,
thank you for the update.
No, there are going to be
there's more.
There's more. Dog days.
By accident, then elsewhere by design. Here's Joe Souchere.
Let's go across the ocean.
Now what?
Well, we're going across the ocean twice. We have shark warnings on the Cape and shark warnings in Spain, and now we have dead whales in Rhode Island, caused by the noise they suffer from the construction and operation of windmills. Now we have minke whales washing up dead on the Suffolk coast.
Minke whales, okay.
Mm-hmm. Three minke whales may have been disoriented by wind farm when they washed up dead off the coast of the UK. This is according to researchers. The first sighting of the dead whale, a calf, was spotted on a mud bank in the River Ore near Felixstowe on Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Officials have sealed off an area of Felixstowe Pier in Suffolk after the 30-foot whale, thought to be the calf's mother, washed up there. Okay. Love the names the Brits have for towns.
Yes, of course. A minke.
Felixstowe. Yes. Another dead adult whale was seen in the water near Harwich, Essex. John Cresswell from the Felixstowe Volunteer Coast Patrol Rescue Service said it was normal for porpoises to wash up on the shore, but not whales. This is a sad day. I have worked as a volunteer Coast Guard for 21 years, and I have never seen anything like it. Those creatures are beautiful, and we need to do something about this.
Of course, immediately.
Immediately. Mr. Cresswell, who added two other minke whales are currently in distress, thinks the deaths could be down to two possible factors. Hmm. He said sometimes whales can't get good sonar transmission near mud banks, which means they end up at shore. I also believe that the wind turbines would have contributed to this, as whales are not able to communicate properly when wind turbines are being used.
I had no idea.
There are an estimation of 800,000 minke whales in the world, with their average life expectancy being 50 years. According to Cresswell, the council officials were planning to call in a special company to dispose of the whales, which would include towing the animals out to sea and letting nature take its course. However, this has caused a stir, as there are fears that the carcasses could become a hazard to fishermen. All right, what are we going to do here?
We can't turn off the...
It is entirely a principal battle of Mysterians to develop anything that would require us not to use petroleum. Solar, wind, great. Hell, who wouldn't love to have this perfected and put a solar panel on their roof and never have an electric bill again? But that's not been perfected. Who wouldn't love electricity to be provided free by the wind? But here's what we're learning is that it's killing whales. It makes a lot of sense. If they're that dependent on sonar navigation and they're getting so fouled up by the noise of either the construction of the turbines or when they're in use, they lose their sonar ability and they end up dead. I don't know how the activists are going to respond to this. Our favorite windmilling ever was the Toyota Prius that melted due to solar panels on the roof of a building in Los Angeles. I mean, that's windmilling. You can't win. That Prius owner couldn't win because the Prius owner, by the mere fact of driving a Prius, is making a statement about attempting to help save the earth, would have been in favor of solar power, only to discover that the solar power ended up melting his car. Who's on line one?
That is an advertiser question off the air.
I see.
I was trying to help this gentleman with.
But it's going to take a long time to shake out the effects of alternative forms of energy. Okay. We're only just learning.
But if Greenpeace, they're the people that cruise around in the ships, right? When there's somebody's whale hunting. If they got wind of this... I think
if I got wind of it, I think they can.
Yeah, I think that they would be true to their own cause that they'd have to stop these windmills.
Well, they're not windmills. They're turbine blades.
Turbine blades.
But isn't it true that people that live near them right here in Minnesota have found the noise to be just nightmarish, disturbing to the point where settlements will have to be arrived at as in terms of compensating people to move or whatever. It's a great idea but we haven't perfected any of this yet. So here you have people nowhere near the ocean. You have humans being affected by the noise of the turbines. And then in the ocean, you've got sensitive animals who base their communication with each other and their future family life on their ability to communicate with each other through sonar, and this is destroying that ability in those animals. So solar too, you know, melted the Prius.
But who can man up and say, okay, we have to? They're in so deep, they would have to deny that it was.
I don't know what you're going to have to do about turbines in the water. I don't know what to do about that. When it comes to them being on land, I would imagine a great precautions have to be taken to not have them near population centers if the noise, in fact, is that bad. I'm trying to remember. It came up on the show. I'm trying to remember where people were becoming disturbed by the noise. Maybe southwestern Minnesota. The only wind farm that I'm familiar with is in the Palm Springs, California area, and I'm not familiar with it. I've just seen it, and it's a significant number of these blades turning, but I've never heard them, presumably because I've never literally went to the farm. You can just see it off in the distance, and nobody lives around it. It appears to be on the floor of the desert between the mountains and the I-10 freeway. I would imagine nobody lives near it. I think it was Worthington. Was it Worthington?
That's ringing a bell.
Well, southwestern Minnesota is ringing a bell because southwestern Minnesota gets windy.
Right.
I see one every time I go north on 169. I see one just north.
Like a single one standalone?
Just a standalone. A single one stand. It's just north of Princeton. And it's always occurred to me that it's not producing anything. It's not producing enough to power a toaster.
Right.
I've rarely seen the blade turn.
Slow moving,
it's
yeah.
A very lazy windmill. What do you call them? Windmills, I guess.
Windmill, yeah. Wind turbines.
Yeah. But I often thought, what? I wonder who owns that.
Yeah, and how much?
You couldn't run an AM radio off this
thing. Think about the cost of putting that together and trying to get back what you can. That's what doesn't seem like would be financially responsible.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm pro whale, and
I'm pro whale too. I want whales
something,
over.
Must do something about this
immediately.
Speaking we're going to be that. Back shortly with an Oompa quiz, by the way. But
commencing garage logic segment number 8.
Here's John Height.
Thank you, Joe. Partly sunny and 69 degrees. This update brought to you by Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Store, proud sponsor of The Beer Show with Mr. Reavers here at 1500 ESPN Thursday nights. Although this week, it's going to be on a Friday night because of a Minnesota United game. So you'll hear The Beer Show this week, Friday night.
I gotcha.
The very resilient Minnesota Twins now move to the East Coast for the next four games. They're in Boston to play the Red Sox. Jose Barrios pitching for the Twins. Chris Sale goes for Boston. Twins with a half-game lead in the American League Central after sweeping Cleveland over the weekend. Minnesota Wild named Bob Woods as an assistant coach over the weekend. The 49-year-old Woods served as an assistant last season for the Buffalo Sabres, which had the top-ranked power play in the NHL. Before that, Woods spent two seasons as general manager and head coach of the Saskatoon Blades in the Western Hockey League. This will be his fourth stint as an assistant under Wild head coach Bruce Boudreau. They last worked together with the Anaheim Ducks 2012 through 2014. Former defenseman, Woods played pro hockey for 13 seasons. News notes from today. One person is dead. Two more were taken to the Hennepin County Medical Center for treatment of apparent carbon monoxide poisoning after authorities conducted a welfare check yesterday on a boat on the St. Croix River in Wisconsin. A release from the St. Croix County Sheriff's Department today said officers were asked to conduct a welfare check on the boat about 5:28 yesterday afternoon. The three occupants had planned on camping at a beach Saturday night, but no one had been able to contact them. Water patrols began looking for the boat, which was found after about 15 minutes by the Washington County, Minnesota patrol at the Highline Beach area in St. Joseph Township, which is located right across the river from the Xcel power plant in Bayport. The release said the beach is owned by the St. Croix Yacht Club and is accessible only by boat or by private road. One passenger on the 34-foot 1989 Wellcraft pleasure boat 24-year-old Ashley Spear of Glenwood City, Wisconsin, was pronounced dead at the scene. The other two passengers, 25-year-old Justin Roscos of Hastings and 27-year-old Hayden Johnson of River Falls, Wisconsin, were taken to the Hennepin County Medical Center for treatment from apparent carbon monoxide poisoning. Three teenagers injured when an SUV crashed into their horse-drawn buggy in St. Croix County. State Patrol says an 18-year-old woman was thrown from the buggy and knocked unconscious. She was airlifted to Regents Hospital in St. Paul. Two others in the buggy, a 19-year-old man and a 17-year-old girl, taken by ambulance to Regents Hospital. It happened about 12:30 this morning on Highway 128 near the town of Wilson. Authorities say the SUV's driver, 33-year-old Glenwood City woman, was not seriously injured and did not show any signs.
Were these Amish youth?
It does not say that in the story. I'm assuming that.
What's the town?
The town is Wilson.
Well, if that's in southwestern Wisconsin, that's Amish country.
Mm-hmm. I have a stupid question.
Yeah.
Is there a way to light the buggies? Do they have any, you know what I mean?
They can have the orange reflecting triangle.
Okay.
But I suppose if you really want to adhere to the dogma, they don't have electric lights. Look up Wilson, Wisconsin, Rook. Let's find out where it is. If it's down around Madison area, it very well could be Amish people.
Well, it wasn't St. Croix County, it said, the story.
Oh, it said St. Croix County?
Yes, St. Croix County.
Well, maybe Amish people live in St. Croix County.
It is west of Menominee, a little bit north and west of Menominee. It's north of 94.
Then you have to wonder, what are you doing out in a horse and carriage at 12:30 in the morning?
Lars, you forgot your lantern.
Mm-hmm. They're Irish.
Damn it, you're Irish kids.
I don't know. I'm working on my Amish accent.
Yeah, life.
Do they have a bowl?
Another prominent Democrat has come forward to voice concern about allegations ex-Attorney General Loretta Lynch may have sought to keep a lid on last year's Hillary Clinton's email probe, with California Representative Adam Schiff saying he's queasy at the thought. Schiff is the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. He aired his concerns in an interview yesterday, said he'd like to hear from Lynch personally. He said, I'd like to hear what Loretta Lynch's explanation for that is, either by having her come to the Hill or by having her speak publicly. The call significantly ups the pressure on Lynch as the push to scrutinize her conduct in last year's Clinton email investigation becomes more bipartisan. North Korea plans to create a large beach resort in one of the country's port cities, a knockoff of a Spanish getaway that's a hotspot for tourists, according to a new report. The beach resort is planned to be built in Wonsan. It would mimic the Spanish city of Benidorm. The secretive regime became infatuated with Benidorm, apparently, after 20 North Korean officials took a fact-finding trip to the beach resort and were amazed by the dimensions of the towers and the holiday parks, that according to a spokesman for the North Korean embassy in Madrid. The North Korean beach resort is an attempt to increase the country's tourism. Leader Kim Jong-un hopes to welcome 1 million tourists into North Korea by the end of 2017. Currently, about 100,000 foreign visitors go to the country every year, according to the Telegraph.
So does Dennis Rodman's visit include, is that included in that 1 million? Are we looking for 999,000, 999?
I'm not going.
Not going to the
beach. I don't have a desire to see North Korea.
None.
No. University of Delaware is cutting ties with a professor over comments she reportedly made on social media about Otto Warmbier. The university announced the adjunct anthropology faculty member, Catherine Detweiler, would not be rehired to teach in the future. She had taught a course in the spring. In a written statement, school officials said the comments of Catherine Detweiler do not reflect the values or position of the University of Delaware. We condemn any and all messages that endorse hatred and convey insensitivity toward a tragic event such as the one that Otto Warmbier and his family suffered. University of Delaware values respect and civility, and we are committed to global education and study abroad. In a now-deleted Facebook post, Detweiler reportedly wrote in part that Warmbier got exactly what he deserved. She continued by saying Warmbier was, quote, typical of a mindset of a lot of the young, white, rich, clueless males. Warmbier died last week after coming back home in a coma from a 17-month imprisonment in North Korea. Doctors at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center who examined him after his release said he had suffered a severe neurological injury from an unknown cause. Relatives say they were told the 22-year-old University of Virginia student had been in a coma since shortly after he was sentenced to 15 years of hard labor in North Korea in March of 2016.
So as a result of his sickness, As far as we know, that's when North Korea said, we don't want any of this. Let's get them out of here.
I sent them back, it sounds like, because of the sickness. Yeah. A Spanish judge has ordered the remains of artist Salvador Dali to be exhumed following a paternity suit by a woman. Dali, considered one of the fathers of surrealist art, died in 1989. He's buried in his museum in the northeastern town of Figueres. The woman, Pilar Abel, is a tarot card reader from the nearby city of Girona.
Are we talking Italy?
Spain, I believe, right, Dali?
Dali, Spain.
Isn't he a Spanish? Yeah. Sure, wasn't he a Spanish fellow?
I believe so.
I think your Dali's from Spain. Your Dalai Lama's from somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
The woman, Pilar Abel, is a tarot card reader from the nearby city of Girona. Born in 1956, Abel says she is the offspring of an affair between Dali and her mother, Antonia. Dali was then married to his muse, Gala. A Madrid court settlement.
He's artists.
Yeah.
They keep busy, don't they?
Muse.
A Madrid court statement says that DNA tests were necessary to make a genetic comparison. If there is a match, the woman could pursue further action to use Dali's name or claim part of his estate. The Dali Foundation can appeal today's decision. My only question when I saw the story was, why did it take this long if he's been dead for...
He just finally found it in the tarot cards.
In the tarot. Think so? Mm-hmm. A brawl forced the temporary lockdown of San Francisco's downtown Westfield Mall last night, ended with several people being detained, according to police in San Francisco. A police spokesperson said calls came in around 6:43 yesterday, reporting a large fight at the mall. Videos posted on social media showed a chaotic scene with arriving officers struggling to subdue several people. Police said some of the mall resisted or fled while officers were detaining people. It was clear from various videos a number of officers were also assaulted, according to police, adding that several of the officers were injured. It wasn't immediately clear how severe their injuries were, although reports from San Francisco say one officer was taken to the hospital for treatment of injuries. On those videos, you can see officers having fights with people on escalators, in hallways, and it was a large police presence, at least 20 to 30 police at one time, it looked like. The mall was locked down for a short time as a precaution, then closed for the night early while police tried to control the violence. Police said they don't think any hate crimes were involved, and they didn't see any links to Sunday's Gay Pride events.
Huh. What?
I have to go gather some more news now.
Why? What happened?
I'm out of news.
Oh, well, then let's get Dave Dahl.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming out this evening. Thank you for coming down here to Sun Med. We had a good time with you. We want you to
cannot stop him. He just make a move. Joe Suchere.
Here's Dave Dahl.
Thank you, Joe. We're up to 69 heading for high today of about 72. There are some scattered or isolated showers that have popped up in eastern Minnesota. Those are still slowly sliding southward. So especially in the northern parts of the metro may see an isolated shower later on this afternoon over the next couple of hours. And then they should fade away to mostly clear skies tonight, down to 54, light and variable breeze. Tomorrow, though, sunshine and turning warmer up to 78. 80 on Wednesday. Some thunderstorms could develop Tuesday night into early Wednesday, and some of those on Wednesday could be strong. 80 for the high on Thursday. Some isolated thunderstorms still possible, and those storms kind of stick around. Isolated, scattered, not washouts, but Friday and Saturday as well. Highs in the mid to upper 70s then. And then next week, starting off on Sunday, high close to 80. 84 on Monday, and then up to about 88 for the 4th of July. Right now, it looks like it'll stay dry through the 4th of July. So Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, pretty dry but warm and humid. 69 right now, Joe, and heading for a high today of 72, and I have the records for the day.
June 26.
99 on this day.
99.
In 1931.
1931.
46.
46.
In 1926.
In 1926. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Troy, go ahead, please.
Yeah, you had some questions about the Amish. During John's newscast.
Well, I was just wondering if the kids in this accident were Amish young people.
I'm not sure about this Amish specific or this accident specifically, but there are many Amish families around the Baldwin-Menominee area.
All right, thank you.
And Baldwin is in St. Croix County.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Additionally,
yeah,
they are not required to, but they have many have. Oil lanterns on the front and back of their buggies.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, just like in Witness with Harrison Ford.
I don't know what I'd do without our listeners, because I don't get any help from you, and the other moron isn't here yet. I was saying, wasn't there a Minnesota story about people alarmed by the wind turbine noise? And frequent emailer Terry came up with it. It was published in the Pioneer Press in November of 2015. It was about a family in southeastern Minnesota. They have wind turbines next to their 10-acre property, and it's disrupting their lives as well as their view. It's Kathy and Dan Blanchard. They also believe the windmills are disrupting their television signals. They live outside Sargent Township in Maurer County, and there are about 10 wind turbines near their property. And Kathy said, I'm all for wind energy, but we have had to make changes. Plus, there's no compensation to us. Not many people are happy, especially residents underneath these windmills. The Pleasant Valley Wind Farm Project, led by Renewable Energy Systems America, has added a substation near the couple's home. And Kathy Blanchard said original environmental assessments indicated the couple's property would be 1,200 feet away from the substation. But 2 weeks after that initial assessment was submitted, she said the substation location was changed to only 900 feet away. I feel terrible for them. I would not want to be bothered by that kind of noise. That'd be dreadful. Oh, I have a brief Oompa quiz for you.
An Oompa quiz for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You don't have to play the thing.
Oh, I love to play the game.
Just a moment. What am I missing here?
He just has a comment on the...
We have time for that.
Okay.
Barry...
Yes, I have a name ruling for you.
Yeah.
For my grandson born this morning.
All right.
Whittaker James.
Whittaker. Was that a family name or?
No, not exactly. I'd love to tell you it was, but it's not.
Did you buy a Jeep from him or?
No.
How's it spelled?
No. The conventional way.
Yeah, you know what? That's not good enough. Sorry, pal. Bro.
That's all right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Whittaker. What do you call him? Whitty?
Wit.
Whitey?
I knew a guy named Wit. I wonder if his name was Whittaker.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a real name. Oompa quiz.
All right. Let's do it.
Well,
shall we play a game?
Oompa, Loompa, Doompa-dee-doo. I've got another puzzle for you.
When a Hialeah, Florida security guard apparently decided to give himself a promotion to a police officer, he went to jail. The security guard, Milton Morales-Perez, flashed a badge while trying to pull over a woman talking on the phone who just happened to be a spokeswoman for the Miami Police Department and driving an unmarked car and wearing a uniform, according to the arrest affidavit. After backup arrived on the scene, the security guard stated he tried to make a traffic stop because it's dangerous to use a phone while driving. It has happened before. I just read a story about a guy who pulled over a detective in Miami and tried to arrest him. He ended up in jail. What in this story do I most want to know and is not contained in this story due to reporting not what it being used to be?
What type of equipment did he have or what kind of car he was driving?
That's what I most want to know.
Did I just nail one of my first Oompa quizzes ever?
Yes, and it does speak to you having apparently paid attention in bits and pieces.
A blind squirrel finds a nut
I do not believe used police cars should be sold to the public. I
remember that topic.
I hate it. I think it's dreadful. Now, the Miami one I just read, I Googled it to see how many would at least tell me if they had a used cop car.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, I don't know what this guy had, and I... That's what I need to know.
Wouldn't that be key if he had some type of lights or anything to make to?
It sounds like, and again, reporting this in this case, the reporting is dreadful. This is from the Orlando Sentinel. No wonder papers are in trouble. He flashed a badge while trying to pull over a woman. Okay, so maybe he pulled up alongside her and showed his security badge.
Yeah, hey, pull over.
But I still want to know what kind of car you. I don't think those cars should fall into the hands of the public. They're unmistakably police cars.
I don't know where
we've been through this before, and people told us what they have to be painted or something. I don't know.
Right, all the decals stripped and so forth.
Yeah, but I don't care. I don't like it. They're cop cars,
and
they never
really look good, do they?
No, well, because the only reason the cops get rid of them is they've been rode hard and put away wet.
That's true. Right?
They're done. The guy in Miami was driving a 2000, Ford Victoria. And so it looked to me unmistakably like a cop car. Didn't have any writing on it.
Have you seen what the new trend is for cops now?
No.
The vehicles? The Ford Explorer.
Yeah, I've seen those.
That's pretty much, I think, your...
Who are they going to run down with one of those?
They'd probably soup it up, though. Don't you think?
I don't know.
They have to soup it up. Yeah. That's for Whitaker.
I didn't mean to do that. That was a fake cop pulling somebody over. I was trying to get back to this page.
I got you.
Just a moment.
Taking Garage Logic to the nation, here's Joe Soucheray.
As only the Daily Mail can do, and this is what they do best, they have a story on the on Britain's newest and biggest battleship ever built. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's an aircraft carrier. It's called the Queen Elizabeth, and they have dozens and dozens of photographs of this boat leaving its dock near Edinburgh.
Okay.
And it is to sail under the Forth Bridge, the bridge that crosses the Firth of Forth. I've been on that bridge.
You have?
Get this. And they obviously took this into consideration. took 3 years to build the boat. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to get in trouble. It took a decade to build the ship, not a boat.
Got it.
6 feet to spare when they go under the bridge.
Come on.
6 feet. This thing is massive. It's just massive. It's 280 meters long.
Yeah, and that's in calm seas, right?
Weighs 65,000 tons. Well, everything, absolutely, they're going to have to do it in calm seas. But here's the first picture in the story. Is it's going under. It's got 6 feet to spare. It's on its way out to the North Sea for its maiden sea trials.
It's just... You ever break her in.
They do those kinds of stories so well.
You know what I'd want to know?
The food?
Yep.
It's all in there.
What's the first meal the chef
cooks?
There's
dozens of pictures of the chefs.
Really?
And the food supplies.
Daily Mail?
And the quarters and the capacity and graphic descriptions of the ship where it's cutaways and showing you where the hangars are. And it's just impressive as hell. But I'm thinking... people do amazing things, don't they? They build amazing things, and they built this ship knowing that they will have 6 feet to spare as it goes under the Firth of Forth Bridge, which is Scotland's favorite landmark.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's an impressive-looking bridge. They use, you know what word they use to describe the bridge. They use the I
iconic
word. Yeah, they use the I word, which I won't say.
Do that, right?
But which is a shame, because, again, words get foghornable. Words get foghornable because they have become destroyed. This would be a perfect use of the word iconic, but we cannot say...
It's been vanillaed down,
it's been,
hasn't it?
It's been stolen from us. Yeah. 1500
wow,
ESPN is KSTP St. Paul, Minneapolis.